All right, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? It's our special holiday episode. If you're watching on YouTube, we've really gone all out with the holiday decor. And if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out.
You're missing out, although the video goes up on Spotify, so you can be watching there as well.
True. But who the hell does that?
I know at least one person does. But folks, welcome. Happy holidays. Hope you're having a good one. If you celebrate, if not, that's okay. And we're glad you're spending it with us because we have a great episode for you all. To be honest, I think I'm going to have a tough time pronouncing this one. Balionaire, I guess it's Balionaire.
Yeah. It's,
but I keep on saying Balillionaire, but that's not how it's spelled. So it's Balionaire. A nice little indie roguelike, you know. Well, of course it's indie. This is Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. And we're going to be talking about it soon. It's going to be an interesting one to talk about because it is kind of taking the world by storm right now. It's a nice little gem, it looks like, at the end of the year, you know, to kind of cap things off. But before that, what's up? How you been? What's new?
I have been good. Yeah, just, you know, getting ready for the holidays. You know, I still got to wrap all the gifts that I've purchased. So hopefully maybe later today I'll do that. But yeah, I'm off of work too for like the next week and a half, you know, until the new year, which is great because work's been a pain in the tuchus. And yeah, it's just been, I don't know. What have I been doing? I don't even know. Just dog stuff. Yesterday, Maria does like this tradition where like they make struffalies, which like I didn't know what they were until like,
me neither.
Yeah. Until, until I started dating her, but they're like, just like little honey balls, that, I guess it's like an Italian thing. So, you know, she invites family over and all that, but we took it as an opportunity. I brought Pluto over to my parents' house. Because we want him to get a little bit used to their house because they're going to be watching him on Christmas and he was good and all that. But while I was over there hanging out with my dad, I had bought my dad, one of those books that was like, it was like going viral on TikTok. And it's like, Dad, I want to hear your story kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, I have one for my mom too, but I was like, Dad, like, this is a good time. We can just go through a few pages or whatever. And, you know, it starts out by asking like, where were you born? Like all the kind of boring stuff, like what happened the year you were born. So we're like looking that stuff up, but then you get into like questions about like what he was like as a kid, like what was his room like, was it messy or clean, what posters did he have on your wall, like all this stuff that like I've never asked my dad before. And it was cool, you know, like there was like stuff brought up, you know, with his childhood and all that. We didn't get into like his teenage years or anything like that yet, but there was like some dad trivia and all that. I don't know, it was like I was kind of, at first, I'm like, all right, this is a little weird because I'm like, Dad, tell me all this stuff in case you die soon. You know, just, you know, like, but then it, you know, it started like kind of unraveling like some stuff. And we were like, oh, you know, just like stuff about my dad I didn't know. And I was like, oh, that's really cool, you know, or like stuff about his family that I didn't know. So even though the book's like, you know, I still get ads for him, I'm like, I cringe a little bit because I'm like, oh, like it's just like, I get so many ads for them, but it was cool. Like it was worth it, I would say, to do it. So that was cool. We did a little bit of that. That was a little different this past weekend, you know, and hopefully we'll have another session and all that stuff. And I recorded it too. So like my phone was like transcribing it because there's so much I can't write down. I'm not going to, you know, one of those stenographers or something like that. It was cool, you know? So I recommend, like, if anyone sees those books, I mean, you can get it for, like, a few bucks, I think, now at this point. You know, just sit down with... They have them for, like, grandparents and stuff, too. I think, like, aunts and uncles. Like, it doesn't even be, like, your parents or anything. But, I don't know. It was just cool, like, learning, like, my dad had a Mad Magazine poster in his room when he was a kid. They had, like, a plastic pinball machine. You know, he, like... he had to fold his clothes all the time and he would try to like trick his mom into thinking that he folded all of his clothes by just folding the first few on top and then just like, you know, having it like all this like little stuff that like I don't know. It's just kind of funny. I also found out my dad looks just like, because one of the questions was like, when you were a baby, like, who did people say like you look like or resembled maybe? And my dad immediately, he said like some Russian name. And I was like, who is that? And he's like, oh, that guy was the leader of Russia at the time. He's like, let me show you.
Gorbachev or something like that?
Maybe. Yeah. Looks just like my dad. Like, he looked up a picture. I was like, Dad, you need to get like a military suit and like have that for Halloween or something like that. Because I was like, you look like him now. So that was funny. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So that took up some time yesterday. And we're doing the pod early too. So haven't finished the weekend yet. But hopefully it's a good end to the weekend. But how are you doing, Tom?
I'm good. I'm actually getting the Uncle book, and I'm just going to copy and paste everything that you got on for your dad. I'm like, oh, there we go. easy peasy. No, that sounds cool. I do get those ads as well. I have this like kind of chronological like idea of what my dad's life was like.
Yeah.
So it seems a lot cooler there, so I don't want to ruin it, I think. But, you know, who knows? But no, that's pretty cool. What is my week like? I had my first week of work.
Yeah.
New job. And I'll tell you what, it sucks. I mean, it's a culture shock, right? Because yeah. I used to be able to just do whatever I want when I wanted to get my work done whenever. Now you're kind of like 8 hours, like you got to like at least be there and like get your work done. But there's not a lot of work right now because I'm getting trained for like 2 months. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like I'm bored and like whatever. But at least the 2 days home are nice. I got to play a lot of Ballionaire because of it, which is nice as well. So it's going to be an adjustment, but. Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's my forever job, but it's certainly a job. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll feel it out. Funny enough, I love getting Steam notifications of like when my friends are playing something. Just saw, I think this happened last week. My friend Will playing Balatro. Very cool. he had quit playing Balatro. Actually, a fun story. He quit playing Balatro because he kept getting frustrated on the purple stake. And I was like, dude, you gotta get back in, man. It's the best game. I was like, I felt like a drug dealer.
Yeah. Let's
get back in. And like, he's like, all right. He's like, all right, fine. And he got back in and he texted me. He's like, first try, beat the purple stick. I'm back in. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So
yeah. We'll have to see if the streak continues. Maybe every time we record, if you see, this is 2 weeks in a row. Maybe it'll just happen. It is a different time too.
Exile or Balch. Oh yeah, that's true. Last time it was a night.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's got a little baby at home. So like Balch is the perfect game. You can kind of like cradle the baby and play some like games like that, which is fun.
Yeah.
What else did I do over the weekend? We're still in the weekend, but went to trivia on Wednesday with one of our cousins, Tori, and her husband.
Nice.
And that was fun. We did okay. Well, I think we did the best they've ever done at the trivia. So
cool.
I'd like to think that
general trivia or like specific
general
theme?
Okay. Yeah, it was general trivia. They do it at one of the local breweries around here.
Nice.
And then golly, it wasn't a whole lot of other stuff, you know, kind of making like my wife's making cookies and stuff like that for the holidays. And she's also handling all the gifts and organizing, which is very nice. I bought your gift in June, Matt, and and it was for your birthday. And I forgot.
Oh, okay.
I got you something else for your birthday. And
cool.
Lady Fresh was like, wait, weren't you going to give this to him for his birthday? I'm like, ah, shit. That's a Christmas present now. So
perfect.
So I think we're pretty all set on that. Went out to dinner. Oh, dude. Went out to dinner on Friday. We go to this one place called Bowman's Tavern, not too far from where we live. If anybody wants to, I guess, dox me. But it's like an hour away. Bowman's Tower, because it's over by Bowman's Taverns at the base of Bowman's Tower, and that's like where George Washington would hang out or whatever, like crossing the Delaware, yada, yada, yada. And they have this roast pork sandwich that is the best sandwich. First of all, it's huge. It's like roast. It's like the classic roast Philly roast pork with some like broccolini and like long hots, provolone. They do a nice thin layer of mayo at the bottom, and they got the au jus next to it. You just dunk it. It's the best. It's so good. Just had to shout that out. And then we went, hung out at a brewery last night, local brewery. Actually, you know, their beer's gotten to a point like where, you know, I'm pretty happy drinking it there. Because like initially it was like a lot of the hype stuff. I felt like really, really hazy stuff that I'm not super into. But they had a West Coast style IPA that was quite good. I had three of them last night. Very nice.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah. But that's been what's up. But we do have... I'm getting something right now. We have news.
Oh my God. Someone in from the North Pole?
The North Pole? Santa? We do have a Discord. Santa might be in it. Now, he might be incognito in a different. All right, fine. It's Coppola. It is. No, we have a great Discord. Please check it out. It's in the show notes below. You can submit sweet, sweet questions. We didn't get a whole lot today because we're recording early. And, you know, that's all right. We forgot to ping them yesterday. But you know what? It's a good place to hang out. Please check it out. But in terms of news, it's kind of a slow news week. It's kind of a lot of wrapping up of the games of the year and stuff like that. And the ones that people are most excited for. We're going to do a whole episode next week about our favorite games. I think we're going to call them the Juicies. I think that's actually a pretty good award. Thing we'll say our favorite this, our favorite that, yada yada yada. So tune in for that. It's gonna be a lot of fun. But the only thing I saw was it's never good news. but indie game studio Moonana faces financial crisis, which is kind of always sad to hear, but like it's nice to see it get coverage and hopefully people can turn it around. Moonana is a dev that has made some pretty good games. Keylocker, Virgo versus the Zodiac being two of the bigger ones, but they still haven't recouped the cost from their latest game, Keylocker. It's a turn-based cyberpunk action, which, you know, that all sounds pretty sweet to me. They also have developed some really interesting games. Announced recently that they're working on a new clown-based tactical RPG, Clowned King, which, if you like tactical RPGs, I'm not sure if these are good, to be honest, but they look good. A little bit more in the anime side of things, but I'm just looking at some other stuff. They even have a Christmas theme game.
Yeah. Ginger's Letter to Santa. And they actually recommend that if you're looking to support them, that is a great game to go support them with. It's only $3 on Steam. So if you're into that, it's a single player game, kind of a Christmas RPG adventure sort of vibe to it. It actually looks kind of cool too. You know, they got little cool character designs, you know, turn-based combat. So it looks, pretty interesting. But, always hate to hear about, obviously, indie studios struggling, especially, like, recouping costs of a game they probably worked on for a while, like with Keylocker. Now, I haven't heard of these games before or, honestly, like, this studio. But, obviously, this time of year, you know, you just hate to – I mean, any time of year you hate to hear this stuff, but especially this time of year. You know, we just kind of wanted to put the message out there. That, you know, if you're interested in looking at some games, a lot of games on sale right now, give Moonana's games, you know, a look-see, and maybe there's something there that you like and you want to pick it up.
Yeah, and notably the one that they haven't recouped the, the financial burden of yet, Keylocker, is sitting at a very positive with 129 reviews, which is quite good. It's on sale. 10% off, coming in at about $18, but there is a demo. So if that's something that maybe you'll be interested in, if you like the tactical turn-based RPG stuff, this also looks like it has a lot of cool stuff, some rhythm stuff going on, even like something that looks like Guitar Hero going on as well. So that just turned on the music, but you probably can't hear that. but it looks cool, so it's worth covering, and hopefully that, you know, they recoup some of this stuff with some coverage like this, because clearly they're making decent games, and you know, we need more studios making consistent, decent games. And that Ginger Santa game, it looks a lot like, oh man, what the, you remember the Math Mountain or whatever, that was like on like school PCs?
It kind of rings a bell. I remember,
like, you had to answer math problems to go up this mountain, and
Treasure Math Storm.
Let's see.
Yeah, I do remember this.
Oh, Treasure Mountain. No, wait, Treasure Math. Oh, Math Storm.
Yeah, it teaches kids ages 5 to 9 mathematical problem solving.
Yeah, kind of looks like that. So, if you're looking for some some throwback. That was a good game. That was a good game.
Yeah.
Did you rock a lot of Oregon Trail back in the day?
Yeah. Actually, I've never played Oregon Trail, to be honest.
What?
Oregon Trail. Yeah. Never played it. No. I was a big, like, flash game kid. Played, like, addicting games like Bubble Trouble.
Sure.
You know, Miniclip with Club Penguin. Played a little bit of that.
That was a good website.
I did a lot of that, like, at school and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, obviously, like, the pinball, like, and solitaire and stuff built on the, you know, came with Windows and all that stuff. But, and Pajama Sam, Putt-Putt, you know, Freddy the Fish, all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, never played the Oregon Trail. I used to say Oregon.
Yeah, me too.
And one time I said it, like, to my roommates in college, and they were like, "What did you say?" I said Oregon. They're like, "It's Oregon." I was like, "Oh, is it?" I have no idea. I'm an idiot, I guess. But, never played it. Is it on Steam?
Oregon Trail? At least there's got to be one version, because there's been multiple versions. Those were good times. I always liked those kind of computer games. I spent a lot of time on Newgrounds. Kind of like going through and checking out the different kinds of games, and there were some wild games on Newgrounds, I'll tell you that much. Stuff that I probably shouldn't have been looking at as a young boy, but you know, what can you do? It's all water under the bridge, the bridge. We don't know, but looks like we got some questions coming in. Late questions, maybe. I'm gonna tag it right now. But anyway, so we do have a game for you all.
Yes, this we do. Week,
Ballionaire. Let me bring this up real quick. Developed by New Object, published by Raw Fury, who they publish a lot of great games. It's on Steam. Its price is $12.34. I think that's on sale, right?
No, that is the actual price of it.
Oh, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. It is on sale. I think it's like, it's weird. Like, the game is priced at $12.34 and it's 17% off right now. But unfortunately, I think the sale ends the day before this episode comes out. But yeah, they got some weird numbers going on with their pricing. But yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1 second. I'm just adding a question last minute here. From the question bot, Capolo. Ballionaire is a fast-paced kinetic roguelike where strategy meets physics to create outrageous wealth. Find and exploit game-breaking synergies as you theorycraft your way to victory. Welcome to the auto-bonker genre. Now, this is not the, I guess, first Pachinko style of roguelike. I mean, notably Peglin was similar to this. Now there is some major differences there, because Peglin, you kind of, it's more of the dungeon crawler, right? Where you're kind of going through and you're going from room to room to beat different kind of enemies, and you're drafting different kinds of balls that you're dropping. And this is different, where you're actually the ball remains the same, the one that you drop, but you are placing different things for the ball to hit and bonk, as they is the term they use here. Now, pretty simple gameplay, right? You draft something, one of three things to put onto the board there, and then once you do that, you just drop a ball, and then you repeat the process. And you're trying to get X amount of dollars for each amount of balls that you get to kind of go through. This is not unlike Balatro, where you just got to gain cash, right? Or points or chips. And it is a fun little thing because, you know, you get to create these synergies. And like, at first you're like, what the heck is going on here? This is so weird. And you just have to like really read what each, I forget what each thing is.
Yeah. It's like, trigger or,
oh yeah, I guess trigger. Yeah.
They call triggers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to read what each one does. And it does do a good job of, well, first of all, telling you what it synergizes with. It will give you the symbol of things that you have that it synergizes with, but it'll also tell you what kind of trigger it is. So it could be like, this is a ager or a mover or a bonker or whatever. And these are all different things that kind of do different things, right? So there is like a mover will move the ball somewhere else. A ager will gain more points that you can gain from it each turn that it's out on the board. So you kind of explore a lot of these interesting synergies, and you know, you start off with this board that, if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, a pyramid where basically it's just a pyramid shape and the ball drops from the middle, et cetera, and that's the most of like your beginning gameplay will be on this, because you got to have to beat one run on the pyramid before you get access to the other boards. And it is an interesting journey, because you're like, what the heck? And here's something that I didn't even realize, because I kept getting unlocks and I was like, I'm not seeing any new new triggers in my drafts. And I realized that you had to go to the main screen and like basically go to a vending machine where you get to use your unlocks to unlock new stuff randomly. There's no kind of a linear way to unlock stuff, which I actually liked a lot. It kind of goes along with the gambling theme of this game. And I actually beat the pyramid with all the basic triggers, which was, it took me a while. And it took me a while to kind of figure out the strategy that I wanted to do. And it's it ends up being a pretty fun game, and I kind of like this numbers go up like genre, right? It's like Balatro, right? This is closer to Balatro than it will be to Slay the Spire or anything like that, where you're kind of drafting things. And I clearly we liked Balatro, and I do have some complaints about this game at the gates. Once you beat the pyramid, it is, I would say the other maps are not as fun. I would say, I mean, there's some maps that are a lot of fun. There was one specific map that I actually didn't have a lot of fun with, and it was the pinball one. I played it a couple times, and I just felt like the actual, because you can move the flippers. I didn't feel like it was responsive enough or something like that. So I didn't have a lot of fun there. I had fun with the slot machine one, and the fishing one was a little interesting as well. But specifically the pyramid is probably the most fun, because where you actually get to explore the most strategies, although there are some strategies that are better on different maps. So all in all, like with this game, it's a very great way to kill time and like kind of explore different things that you could do. I think it's a very fun thing where you kind of like, when you lose, you're like, oh man, what the hell? Like, I thought I had a good strategy going, and you're like, all right, let me take a look. Cool thing that you can do after you win, or I think even after you lose, is you can go back to the board and kind of do like custom stuff, like where you're just like testing out stuff, and that's pretty cool as well. So there's a lot you could say about this game, but in terms of the gameplay, I felt like it was a good time. I think I did have a good time with it, and I'll probably continue to play this. It's a nice little time killer and kind of finding out. Like, I definitely want to unlock everything. I'm about 20 unlocks away, I think, just to see what else you can kind of do. It's fun to find new synergies. But how do you feel about this game?
Yeah, I this game for me, you know, going into it, I was kind of almost comparing it to Dungeon Crawler. Just before actually playing it, I was like, all right, this game is going to be about, like, it's going to have as much engagement and strategy as a game like Dungeon Crawler. And that is not the case. Like, there is definitely a lot more strategy involved with a game like this because of all the different triggers you can place down. I actually didn't beat the pyramid. I got, like, you know, one of the stakes or whatever you want to, not stakes, but it was 300. I had to hit 300,000 to tribute. I think they call it a tribute. Mm-hmm. I had to hit 300,000. And I think after that, you have to hit like 500,000 and then you win. I did not reach that point. I did a good amount of runs and I kept getting up to that point. And I just was like, man, this is just not working for me. And then I realized that the vending machine existed. I was like, oh, I probably should have been doing this the whole time. But there's definitely a lot more strategy involved. It's not, you know, maybe in the beginning, obviously the first few kind of like waves that you have to do, that you have to get through, it's, you know, it doesn't really matter where you're placing things at the end of the day. Like, if you, you know, it's pretty easy to get through the first few levels, but then you start to realize, oh, wow, like, now it really matters where I'm placing things and, you know, what do I want this ball to do and what do I want it to trigger so that these other balls can fly out and hit these other things. So it really does have a lot more strategy involved than I was originally thinking, which is great. Like, there's so much variety. I felt like every run I did, I kind of did something different based on like the options I was given. They also give you, a good amount of kind of like rerolls for your options. You kind of, I think you start out maybe with three or five, but then you can like add to that. At one point I had like 15 and I was like just kind of using them, you know, when I didn't really like anything that was being presented to me. So I thought that was good too, because they give you like a lot of flexibility with how you should like build out your board. The big issue for me though, and it's really just that the game has a bigger learning curve than I was expecting. There is a decent kind of tutorial where like they, you know, you'll kind of see it in the video too, is that there's like a little pop-up kind of thing. They point out things on the map. But for me, I just wish it was maybe a little bit more in depth, or maybe there was like a full tutorial kind of level that kind of slowed things down. Maybe you can change the speed up in the top right, which is great, which I realized after a few runs, and you start, you know, kind of like in Balatro, where I think I have it like twice the speed for the animations or whatever. But there were definitely points where like, I was like, I don't even know how I'm getting money right now. like, you know, so being able to slow that down and realize like how you're actually getting money, I think would have been good to have some sort of tutorial where it's like, you know, the ball hits something and then maybe there's a pop-up and it's like, you got 200 points and now this is going to like spawn a fireball. And you're like, oh, okay, like I get it. It hits the campfire, it spawns a fireball. And so for me, like understanding the keywords as well, like I was like, what is an ager and like a mover? I was like, I understand. Like I started to understand it, but at first I was just like, I don't know what these words really mean. I was trying to figure that out. So I think they could have done like a little bit of a better job kind of setting you up for that. But after a few runs, you start to really understand it. And, you know, you start to get into the point where, like, I didn't really have to read the description for, like, what a tree was anymore. Because I'm like, oh, I know what this does. I know what I got to do. I got to hit it from underneath, you know, and the jump ropes and all that sort of stuff. Like, you start to kind of get, you know, just by the way things look. So you start to understand it decently quick. But I just kind of wish, like, I feel like this game might deter people initially. Because you're like, this is just seems too complicated. But, you know, there is a payoff. So I did end up having like a good amount. I put a few hours into the game, had a good amount of time with the gameplay, like everything interacting with each other. You're trying to also think not only of like what sort of triggers should you put down, but like different strategies for how you should place them. Should you try to place them like more on the outside and see if they bounce in between each other? Or like, should you have them all bunched up? And there's some triggers that like get bonuses if they're next to, you know, if they're adjacent to like other triggers. And obviously there's like the mover triggers that like can shoot across the board. So you kind of want, you know, them to hit a lot of things, I guess, as they're shooting across. So there's, yeah, I appreciate the variety of the triggers that they give. And it is really satisfying. You know, you can see in the top right here, like if it's hitting a lot of stuff, you start to see like they put the math essentially up on the right side. So you can be like, you know, you kind of get that dopamine hit of like, look at all these pages of all these reactions I have going on right now, which is pretty cool. But definitely, I do think there's a, I don't know, there's a point where like you really have to know how you should be building everything. I found that like if I made one mistake that I, you know, maybe I should have chose a different trigger than another one, I was like, man, I probably just missed out on a lot of mm-hmm. money. And then you can go and like remove them if you want to, but you're not like replacing them really. And then there's also like the whole aspect as well that like bothered me a little bit, just because it's like there's obviously RNG involved. Sometimes I would hit the drop thing and it'd be like, dum, dum, and it would just like fly off. And I'd just be like, I guess that whole turn was wasted. I thought that was going to be better. I needed at least like 5,000 on that turn. So there's like stuff like that, but it's really most of the time, like, I mean, like you can see on the screen right here, like there's just a lot of cool stuff going on. And it was great. Like overall the gameplay, and the way that they, all the variety they really give you to build out your board. I had a lot of fun playing, with that. And I'm interested in the other boards. I know you said like they're maybe not as good as the pyramid one. Is there one that's a slot machine? I feel like I saw a slot machine. Okay.
Slot machine is pretty fun because, you get three different kinds of balls that will come down based on what the slot machine does. So like, I think that the other maps are really cool. I think really the one that turned me off the most was the pinball one, because I did play the other ones and had a good time. But, you know, to maximize at least your initial experience with this game, I do think the pyramids probably, it's a great choice that they did it. Right. Yeah. I think that it gives you the best opportunity to explore the different synergies. But yeah, there's certainly some RNG, but it's a good time, I think. All in all though, like despite its stuff, it's just you gotta be willing to learn and like actually think, because like I found myself doing this like where I was just like, all right, this one kind of sounds cool, I'll place this. This one kind of sounds cool, I'll place this. You gotta think. You gotta be like, you know, I posted a screenshot in the Discord, which we do have one, which is pretty cool. of like, I basically got a cave strategy going. Basically a cave is a trigger that for each cave you hit in a row, it like multiplies. Mm-hmm. So like you can get like a lot. So I had built up like a whole cave section of my board. I was just kind of like re-rolling till I got caves. So like, you know, once you understand that stuff, you're like, oh, let me see what I can do this run. And that's when the true enjoyment of this game kind of comes.
Yeah. And it really did help me too. I know you mentioned this, that like it shows like a trigger, what that synergizes with, like mm-hmm. that help, you know, just shows those icons. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, if you have three options and one of them is synergizing with like three of your triggers already, like you should probably choose that one. You know, unless you're trying to build something else. So that really helped me too, like starting to understand, you know, the synergies between everything, because if you're just kind of watching this gameplay here too, you're probably like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. You know, what are these icons? Like So, but it definitely starts to make sense, you know, after a few runs. And, when I actually saw you post that picture about the caves, I had never played a cave at that point. It never had been presented to me. And then like the next run or the run after that I did, I started seeing them. I was like, oh, let me like see what Tom was talking about. So I had a few caves going too, and I was like, yeah, they are pretty good. I didn't beat the run though, unfortunately, but, it definitely gives you that feeling though, similar to Balatro, where you're like, I can do this. You know? Like, I can beat this. I just need to like, you know, figure out a good strategy. So, yeah, I'm excited to try out the other boards. I can understand, I guess, like the pinball one is one where like, it's probably the only one where you have to do something. It's not just dropping the ball. You actually have to hit those, like those, I always forget the name. What do you call
flippers?
The flippers, the flippers. So that is that kind of the reason too, where like it's the only board where it depends on you to do something other than place the triggers.
I mean, as far as I can remember, it's the only one that like is not kind of autoplay, right? And I just thought that one really missed the mark. Now I'll probably revisit it because if I want to like complete this game or whatever, I'll probably have to like win all of the ascents on this. And that's actually another thing I want to bring up. The cool thing is you have a lot of options for the different maps. Once you beat your first run, you have a lot of options of the different maps and your starting kind of set, mm-hmm. which is really cool. You know, you start off with the pyramid and then you get the starting set of like the movers, the agers, and then like the something else, like the ball creators or something like that. And it gives you a good explanation of why each set of strategies works together. But once you kind of get past that point, you can kind of say like, oh, I want this starting set of triggers and kind of see how that goes. So like there's so much variety in this game. Like I think that is one of the biggest things about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now getting into the story aspect, what did you think of the super in deep story in this game? Super in depth story for this game.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no real story here. I mean, you kind of get these like cool tribute things, like really cool design, which we'll talk about the art, but other than that, there's no real story and I wouldn't expect there to be either. You know, this is not why you're playing this game. You're playing this game to make number go big as much as possible. So, no story to speak of, but this is a gameplay, art, and sound game mostly.
Yeah. I was actually like surprised that there were like a few kind of like character introductions, you know, no story game. Don't really have any notes on that, but I do think the art is interesting though. What did you think of the art in the game?
Yeah. So this is kind of interesting because this is a very, psychedelic almost and like felt like the late 60s, early 70s style stuff. Even you see like, you know, the mushrooms are kind of have that same kind of weird look to them. And, it's not my favorite, and at times I felt like it kind of looks sloppy, but you know, once you start playing it more, you're like, oh, this is pretty charming and kind of fun and weird and wacky, and it kind of plays into exactly what they want in this game, I think. And I enjoy the fact that all the triggers are like humanoid, they all have eyes. To a certain extent, and that's kind of hilarious that like for whatever reason you're just playing weird creatures on the board. So that was cool. I like the character design. It is kind of neat. And then in the the dancing stick figure guy is weird and funny and strange. So like it knows what it is and it doesn't really hold back any punches on what it wants to look like. So, you know, even though at times it was like, you know, it's not my favorite art style, it's like, you know what, I'm all in at this point, right? I've been playing for a while and like it's unapologetically Bullionaire, right? And that's probably the best thing about it, right? Like that you could just be weird and you know, I like some weird stuff. So I was a fan. I didn't have like, you know, a ton of issues with it, except in the beginning a little bit, but once you got used to it, I was like, all right, this is weird and I like it and I like weird things. So, you know, I'll keep rocking with it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Like it's at first I wasn't, you know, super into it and I was kind of like, this is almost like flash gamey in a way. But yeah, it has this like character, you know, it's got a nice personality to it. And I think you put it perfectly, you know, like this is, if I saw this art or these like triggers, I'd be like, oh, that's Ballionaire. You know, yeah. Like it is, it's, you know, I mean, and the guy, there's the guy on the main menu there doing his dances. It's great. Like I love that they leaned into it, and it's wacky. It's like, trippy. It's, you know, they did just a great job. It's cute too. Like there's some cute characters as well. And it's also, you know, very like, a lot of it is like very flat. Like you can look at the backgrounds. Like it's almost like it's this weird, like mesh of old school and modern at the same time. But yeah, I overall, I mean, I think the art was good, you know, the UI as well.
Mm-hmm.
I at first I didn't really realize like how much it tells you at the top. You know, obviously it's telling you like you know, how much money you need to get. And then like, you know, it's got the pop-up for you know, adding all the triggers together and everything like that, and like your passive abilities and stuff. But you also have like the speed thing in the top right I mentioned. You've got like how many removals you have left, how many rerolls you have left. And then there's even a whole like stat thing in the top right. You can actually like get in depth and see all the stats for your current run, which is cool. So yeah, I think they did like a good job with the UI. I feel like it's hard with these kind of games, with this sort of art style, to have a UI that doesn't seem too busy or too distracting. And I think they did a good job, you know, just kind of having everything on the top. You know, it's not like I need to look down in the bottom right to see how many rerolls I have and look in the top left to see how much money I need to get. Like it's all kind of compact in the top there. So I think they did a good job with that. But it does have an adjustment because it's just how weird it is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the fonts are also a little different than maybe what you might have expected in other games. You know, at least when you're like choosing certain things. But I think they also did a good job for like someone like me that like I was wishing there was a better tutorial. I really appreciate that on like the cards, it was very easy for me to understand. Okay, like it just says like placed, and then like the bonus you get when it's placed, bonk, the bonus you get when it's bonked. Like it's not like it's trying to like write a paragraph essentially of just like this is, you know, when play, like kind of like almost like a card description, mm-hmm. right? Where like it would maybe say when placed, and then placed would be like bolded, and then it would say something else. When bonked, like it just kind of lays it out really easy, almost like bullet points. So I really appreciated that too, from just from the art standpoint. Is like it's for a game that can have a lot going on. Each individual card, it's easy to understand what exactly that one does. Even if it has a few different kind of conditions on it. So, I appreciated that too, just from the art standpoint. But, for me though, I thought the music really shined in the game. Did you have, what were your notes on the music?
Yeah. So I like the music. It kind of, it kind of goes along with that, similar vibe of like, I'm hanging out and I'm gambling, right? Like it just like mellow and not offensive whatsoever. You know, just it's kind of got this like psychedelic thing going on as well, and like elevator music-y, I guess is maybe what I would say, and yeah. it made a lot of sense, like, you know, much like a game like Balatro, where it's not a lot of changing, but it keeps you in the game, and you know, keeps you kind of focused on this weird stuff you're doing, and. I liked it. Now, the sound effects is probably where it really shines, though, because you have all these weird sounds, these bonks, and these new kind of balls that you create, and like the sounds that they make, and the different kinds of like there's a type of trigger called holders that will like hold things, and then sometimes they'll destroy the ball, and they make all different kinds of sounds. So, like when you get to the point in your run where a billion different things are going on. You would think it would be like a mishmash, but it kind of is like a little satisfying when you're hearing all this stuff happening, and it makes you like, yeah, like I'm doing it. So yeah. I really, really like the sound effects here. But what about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed the sound effects. I only had one small issue with the sound effects of the triggers. I thought all of them were really great, other than I guess, I don't know if it's just the teleporter one, but there's one where it just has like a sharp sound that like hurt. It would just be like, ding! Like I'd be like, ah, like what is that? What the hell is making that sound? So that was the only thing that like, I, you know, it's not to a point where I'm like, I don't want to play this anymore because it'll, you know, it doesn't happen every single time you drop. But that was something that I just noticed. But I actually, I all tabbed out of the game for a little bit. I was listening to the music and I found myself like jamming to it. And I kind of thought there were like kind of like some Nintendo vibes in a way. And I'm going to just see if I can play a little clip of it here from the video. Yeah. And there's the, obviously the sound effects of it bouncing on a bunch of things. For, you know, I kind of got some vibes like maybe like a Mario Kart kind of game might have that as, you know, in the background, or even just a regular Mario game, you know, as you're kind of exploring things. So I don't know. I appreciated it. I don't think it's anything that's like, I hear that and I'm like, that's Ballionaire. But it definitely was fun. You know, the whole game, the whole idea is the game is silly and fun. And I think the music fit in perfectly with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, coming down to performance, I didn't have any issues, to be honest. Like, it moved pretty, I mean, it's not a crazy game. Now, I have seen somebody on YouTube did break the game with their, with the amount of triggers that they had going, which is pretty fun. But like, that's like something that you try to do in this game, right? It's almost like a challenge. So I didn't really have any issues performance wise.
Same here. Yeah, no issues whatsoever. You know, I think this could be a game for mobile. Before the show, I accidentally thought it was for mobile, just as an FYI. But so if the devs are listening, I think this could be a fun mobile game. Obviously, you'd have to figure out, maybe make sure it's not too small on a screen. But I had no issues with that. And yeah, the average player is not going to be, you know, doing these crazy runs and trying to break the game. Or anything like that. So yeah, it ran perfectly fine for me.
Yeah, and I guess it's time to give a rating here. Our ratings are as follows. You got your S tier, certified fresh juice. These are, you know, your it's always funny when it's just me pop up. certified fresh juice, followed by steals, which are kind of your A tier, get on sale after that, manager special, and spoiled milk for those that we do not want people to play. Matthew, what is your rating?
I'm giving Ballionaire a strong steal. For me, it's just not a game that I would say it's certified fresh juice, because it's not really like a genre that I like get into too much, I would say, like for this particular one. But I think it's a really well-made game. It has a lot of like replay value, which is really important with games like this. And it also is like, you know, like you said, it's unapologetically itself, which I appreciate. You know, it's not trying to copy anything. It's just being Ballionaire. So, I'm giving this a strong steal. What are you thinking?
Funny enough, that was the exact same thing I had in my mind. Strong steal. It was bordering on a certified fresh juice for me. There's just a few things holding it back, but like that is not really real indictment, I guess, on the quality of the game, because it is a really good game. It's just, I don't think it's a perfect game. So like, it's not like there's some things that are kind of glaring to me that I was like, okay, this is not a certified fresh juice. This is a really good game. This is a really good game. I'll be playing more of it 100%. And it could end up being, you know, if I get past those glaring issues that I had with it, it could end up being a certified fresh juice easily. So definitely a strong steal, I would recommend. And it's a great, great deal. Great price. So,
hell yeah. Cool. Yeah. And I think also for me, like this game, I came into it like not very impressed, because of how like the learning curve was. I was just like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get this. And then after doing a few runs, like, yeah, it started to click and it just kind of kept building from there. I'm like, oh, this is really well done. So props to the devs for putting this one together at the end of the year, giving something people to binge over the holidays. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. Yeah.
And that brings us to, what was our best game of the month? It's the end of December.
Yeah, so in December, we played Dungeon Clawler, Entropy Survivors, Undead West, and Ballionaire. So we gave a steal to Undead West and Ballionaire, and you gave a steal to Dungeon Clawler, I gave it on sale, and then we both gave Entropy Survivors on sale. So what do you think, and what was your best December game out of those four?
I think it's pretty easily Ballionaire. Undead West, I actually played some more of since we reviewed it actually. Same. You know, and it is a good game, and not a knock on it. I do think Ballionaire probably has the most legs here, and I think will probably be one of those indie game darlings going forward as well. So got to give it to Ballionaire.
I agree. I'm giving it to Ballionaire. I think it has the most potential. You know, it has the most replay value overall. Like I enjoy playing Undead West. I also played it after the show as well, but I don't know how, once you unlock everything, like how often are you going to really like play a game like that? So yeah, I'll give it to Ballionaire as well. I also realized, I don't think we ever did our best November game.
Oh.
So for those, we have Sulfur. We have Sworn Demo, if we want to include that.
Okay.
Menace from the Deep and Munch.
Well, so the only two games that we played together or at the same time were Sulfur and Sworn Demo. I don't think we can give the demo.
So just Sulfur, Menace from the Deep, and Munch.
For me, it was Menace from the Deep. I did enjoy that game. It was a well-crafted roguelike deck builder.
For me, I'm going to give it to Sulfur just because, you know, I gave it an on sale. Obviously, I didn't play Menace from the Deep, and Munch, I gave a manager special. So I kind of have to just give it to Sulfur at this point. And I've actually been watching, there's been some content creators that have been streaming Sulfur, and I've been watching them play, and they're like a lot better at it than me. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I need to hop back into some Sulfur because these guys are giving me some new ideas of like how to build my build and how to do things. So I'll give it to Sulfur.
Sweet. We do have listener questions, folks. And next week is going to be the Juicies. For those of you who want to tune in, it's going to be one hell of a time. Maybe some special guests. We don't know.
Ooh.
Who knows? It's weird to see the Juicy spelled out like that. Yeah. But listener questions. First one comes from Compolo with the late listener question, waking up on the West Coast. What's the game of 2024 that you guys wish you had reviewed on the podcast?
Yeah, great question, Compolo. For me, I was looking up some ones. You know, obviously, there's probably a few of them, like Hades 2 or UFO 50. But for me, and this is, you know, it's obviously not because we decided specifically not to play it, but the Rogue Prince of Persia, I just thought that game looked really cool from an art standpoint, replayability standpoint. It just, I don't know, it just kind of seemed cool, but it is also early access as well. So, and it's obviously from Evil Empire too. So obviously developers of Dead Cells, DLC, and it just looked fun. So, you know, I know it's supposed to come out fully in 2025. So that's probably why we're holding off, but I'm just really excited to play that one. I think it's going to be a good one, hopefully. So yeah, that would be it for me. But what about you, Tom?
I would say UFO 50, right? I think that it was one of those games that clearly good. It would have been a fun one to like try out. Yeah. I think we had kind of opted for something that maybe didn't or needed a little bit more. I forget what it was, but needed more press, I guess, because we're press. Where's our press badges? But yeah, UFO 50 is something that it's still on my list to play at some point, but it would have been nice to review it. So that's a good question, Capolo. And now we have some Christmas holiday kind of themed questions. First coming from Bags, favorite Christmas present you have ever gotten?
Oh, I mean, easily for me, it was my first dog, Lucky, who I thought that my parents just kind of like, I was sleeping, I was a little kid, and she like put her like kind of next to my head. And like at the time I had a hamster. So I thought like for some reason they were like putting a hamster on my head because it kind of felt like that. And then I woke up, I was like, oh my God, it's a dog. But if I had to say it was like video game related, it would be the Wii. Actually,
okay,
because it was one of those situations where like my dad was just like, we got one more, what's behind the tree over there, is there another thing? I was like, I don't know. And then it was the Wii. I was like, oh my God, it's so cool. And I obviously like motion controls and everything was like all new at that point. So I just remember like inviting the boys over and we were playing the Wii. And it was a good time. So, yeah. But what about you, Tom?
That's a tough one. My Red Ryder BB gun, which I did think I got one for Christmas at one point. It's the GameCube, because I do remember that one specifically, because at the time we were living in Florida, but we'd be up in New Jersey visiting family. So like we didn't get to open our presents until like after New Year's. Right. Yeah. So, you know, you didn't know what Santa had left for us. And that year, I think a lot of like my cousins had gotten the GameCube. Oh man, that's so sick. That's so cool. And then we get back and the GameCube was there. I played like a ton of Super Mario Sunshine for months. So yeah, it's got to be Animal Crossing, or not Animal Crossing, a GameCube.
Yeah, so you got Animal Crossing on the mind. Just talking about the GameCube.
But I mean, that was one of my favorite GameCube games for sure. Yeah. And Arcarp asks, what's the best reindeer?
The one I just hit with my car. Now, I don't. I Rudolph. I'll say Rudolph because he's got a red nose. Yeah, come I'm gonna on, just say man. That. I mean, what? I don't even know the names of all of them.
You know, reindeer Dasher names. And Donner and Slasher. And
yeah, I'm gonna say Slasher. That's my favorite reindeer.
Blitzen's got to be up there. That's a cool Blitzen. Name.
Yeah, Blitzen's cool. I'm looking Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen.
Comet's got to be the fastest, right?
Comet's got to be the fastest or the cleanest. Isn't Comet also like a detergent or something?
Yeah.
But so I won't say Rudolph because I guess it's not in the original crew.
Well, you know, he was kind of like a Rudy situation. You know, if you've ever seen that movie where like his contributions have been kind of blown out of proportion from
Santa couldn't see Tom. He couldn't see.
I'm just saying the film definitely embellished on some things. And I think that we need to kind of keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to Blitzen. Blitzen said that, you know, he was kind of, it was more of a charity thing, you know, that they let Rudolph do it. But hey, who's to say? I wasn't there, but
true. Actually, and I just looked up when I looked up reindeer names, it says Dasher is the fastest reindeer in the group.
What?
Because Dasher's name comes from the German word Dasher, which means purse maker. And he used to be the lead reindeer until Rudolph took over.
Oh man, Dasher's probably pissed.
Yeah. Oh, apparently because he was too fast as the lead reindeer.
Oh,
and you know, I guess it. You know, and so much Vixen. Lore. Yeah, I didn't even know Vixen was thought to be the only female reindeer. But according to science, all of Santa's reindeer are actually female.
Interesting.
There you go.
Even Rudolph.
Apparently.
Hey, listen. You learn something new every day. The lore goes deep. We're going to have to do a full lore episode next year.
And here's another real quick, all right? This says in 1902, the author of the Wizard of Oz series wrote The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus and gave Santa's reindeer new names, including Flossie, Glossy, Racer, Pacer, Fearless, Peerless, Ready, Steady, Feckless, and Speckless.
Feckless. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I like Racer or Ready.
Ready and Steady and Ready is that's a pretty good duo.
I think. Or Peerless. I like that one. Like they have no peers.
Yeah, like they're what is it? I thought it was supposed to be a team.
Yeah. There you go. The more you know. The more 1902. You know.
Yeah. Those are the days. That's gonna bring us to the rec room, folks. Something where we recommend something that may be not a indie game or is one in my case this week.
Yeah. So from my side of things, I'm recommending actually a website. I got to shout out my buddy Pat who sent this in our group chat. I also did share it in the Discord already. So those of you in there already saw this, but if you go to wintersaleexplorer.com, It is a really cool way to browse the Steam Winter Sale. And the reason it's cool is because it has recommended so many games I've never heard of before that have positive or very positive reviews. So what you do is you go to wintersaleexplorer.com. It'll redirect you to this other site that gives you some categories to choose. So you could choose something like online co-op, roguelike, and first-person shooter. And then you click the big button that says Get Your Games, and it will give you a whole list of games that are currently on sale, a little blurb about them, and how many positive reviews they have. I just did that for those three categories there. The first game is Doom 64, which is only $2 right now, 94% positive reviews. Devil Daggers, Impaler Gold, War of Rights, all these games I've never heard of. Most of them I've never heard of that come up. It's just, I don't know, it seems like it's a really cool way to browse some sales, and we were actually looking at this for potentially some games that we might review on the show at some point.
Yeah.
So, it's just a cool way. I've never seen a site like this for the Steam sale. So I hope they do it for like the summer sale and the spring sale and stuff, because I'll probably use it more there. But check it out, wintersaleexplorer.com, if you're looking to get some good games on sale this winter.
Yeah, yeah, and these sales are going for at least till like January 2nd, right?
Yeah.
Most of them. Yeah, so my recommendation is something I did get on sale, A Case of Cud, which I think there's been some chatter about it. It entered 1.0 a month ago, maybe. And this is for fans of Dwarf Fortress, I would say. It's kind of like a spiritual successor to that game. Now, I never played Dwarf Fortress, but I had always had my eye on it. I knew people really loved it. And, you know, I've been looking at Caves of Cud, watched some gameplay. I'm like, I think I want to play this game. And I played it. And listen, I don't think it's going to be for everybody, but the people it's for are going to love it. And I kind of felt something. I don't know if it was the music or just like the vast exploration of this game that kind of transported me back to like maybe the first time I played Minecraft, right?
Oh.
It felt like this is something vast and wild, and I'm going to die and have to restart a bunch of times, but I don't mind. This music's amazing. You're kind of understanding like the mechanics, and it makes you use your keyboard in ways I've never used it. So I am really loving it. I think it's pretty impressive, and I would recommend it for anybody who's willing to try something they probably haven't played much of. Challenge yourself to play this game, and be ready to read. I think there's a lot of reading here, but it has a lot of options on how you want to play it. You can play as like a new player, you can play as like, I just want to role play, right? Like I just want to treat it like a RPG. And then you know, there's also kind of the Wanderer kind of game mode as well, where you're just like, I get to wander, like it's not permadeath. You get to do a lot of cool stuff, and it kind of you're one of two types of characters. You're either like a true kin or a mutant. The mutant, as you level up, you start to get new mutations, become a different kind of creature or whatever, which is really cool. And then the true kin has better stats at the beginning, but you're one kind of species the whole game, which is kind of fun. I'm enjoying it, and the music, actually, I think the music is some of the best video game music I've heard in years.
So. Hell yeah, cool, and overwhelmingly positive on Steam.
Oh yeah,
don't see that too often. Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. Hell yeah, Caves of Cud. Now, what is a Cud? The land that you're in, or do they explain what Cud is?
Yeah, I think you. It's like the world that you are at least start in, and you start out in the cave, and you kind of like that's how you learn the game. You kind of go through, and you come up to the overworld. And then you're in the overworld, and you can even go all the way up to the overworld, like, and just have a whole map view and just kind of travel that way, like fast travel. But then, like, if you don't know where you're at, it forces you to go back to like the regular base, and you have to like get your bearings again.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But like, there could be like really like dangerous enemies. You can be like totally screwed if that happens. So you got to be careful what you're doing. But I'm enjoying it. It's like, it's a nice little like what like exploring game. You're just like, let me explore, let me figure out all this stuff. It's very cool and very visually appealing if you kind of like that kind of binary look.
Yeah, very cool art style for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, Cave's Cud, folks. This is the last episode of 2024. We will see you in 20, right? Yeah, we'll see you in 2021 or 2025. We're going back in time. Where we're going, we don't need roads. So 2020, we'll do the Juicies next week and we'll have a great 2025. You can continue to find me on all platforms at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Talk about Flesh and Blood, the trading card game, and you can find us on at Fresh Juice Pod everywhere. Where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M. I'm, like I said, I'm off of work for like the next week and a half, so I'm going to try to squeeze in some streams and stuff. So see me live over on Twitch, pop in, say what's up. And Tom, a good year. Look at us. We did a full year of indie game reviews. Pretty amazing.
Pretty crazy. Yeah. I think it's time for me to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I think, you know, all that work. It's like Rip Van Winkle. I don't know. I'm making up stuff. You know what? Juicy, 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 juicy.